Edwin, I want to dive into these pieces as we go along, but let's start with just like listing everything new that's different with the Las Vegas Raiders this offseason. Josh McDaniels is the play caller. Devontae Adams is now the highest paid wide receiver in the league. McDaniels brought fullback Jakob Johnson with him. They declined Josh Jacobs' fifth year option. They added Zamir White in round four, as well as Brandon Bolden in free agency. I mean, either from your seat, a personal grouping standpoint or concept outlook, what do you think is going to be the identity or the foundation for the Raiders in 2022 in their offense?
Yeah, I think it's going to look a lot like it did in New England, especially with him bringing the fullback over. I still can't pronounce his last name.
I think it's Jakob Johnson.
I could just say Johnson. Yeah, but when they cut Alex Ingold, the Raiders' current fullback, you know, I thought maybe they're going to shift into some, you know, more 11 personnel and be a little bit more spread. But then he brought in Johnson. So I think that signals that they're going to keep doing some more 21 personnel stuff like they did in New England. I think they were the second highest usage as far as 21 personnel other than the Niners. So we'll see a lot of that. But I think it's just going to be a lot of multiple personnel, exotic formations, and they're going to mix things up. And obviously they're going to try to get the run game going. Last year, the Raiders, one of the worst running teams in the league. They're going to bring back a lot of the same offensive linemen. I think that's the one big area of concern for this team is the offensive line. They didn't make a lot of upgrades through free agency. They didn't make actually any huge upgrades through free agency. It looks like it's going to be the same starting five unless Parham, the third round draft pick, might be able to compete for center. But I think as far as the right tackle position, that's a big question mark.
Okay, so let's dive in first to Devontae Adams, because that was obviously such a massive acquisition. You and I actually have a video on this channel immediately reacting after that. Because clearly this team's like best three pass catchers, Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, and Hunter Renfrow. But again, if Josh McDaniels uses a fullback or tight end, extra tight end, I should say, like 42% of the time, which he did last year in New England, that's going to potentially force Hunter Renfrow either out of the lineup or potentially as an outside wide receiver. I would say that the latter is where he's not at his best, but am I just like simplifying this too much? And they can still get, you know, creative with all of these different personnel groupings while also putting Hunter Renfrow and Devontae Adams, by the way, they were back-to-back this past season in slot targets, 9th and 10th in the league at 78 and 77. Everyone can be in a position to quote-unquote win.
Yeah, I think Renfrow is going to suffer the most as far from a statistical standpoint. I just don't think he'll ever have a year like he did last year where so much of the offense ran through him. So now with Devontae Adams, you have a number one, and then Waller coming back, you know, he's a top five tight end in the league. So I think Renfrow's going to see a lot less targets. But as far as being on the field, I think they're going to be able to balance Adams and Renfrow through condensed formations. If you watched how Edelman was used, he actually played outside a lot more than people think. He played outside more than he played in the slot, and they were able to do that and have him run his route tree just by using condensed formations. So when you're using condensed formations, basically everybody's in a slot because you're so close to the quarterback. So I think that's what you can see with Renfrow. You can see him play outside more, play that Julian Edelman type of role, but still be able to run his option routes and slot routes from condensed formations.
Okay. I also, again, mentioned the slot targets for Devontae Adams. He was also, I believe, fourth in the league last year with 26 screen targets. We know that like that Packers offense heavily featured those screens along with RPOs. How do we think that what Devontae did successfully in Green Bay, which can do a lot of different things successfully, with what Josh McDaniels and how, you know, they were run first at times, but also there was like that portion in the middle of last season where they put so much more responsibility on Mac Jones's shoulders and basically ran 11 personnel a lot and asked him to throw the football. We know that that was very, very common during his time with Tom Brady. Plus then what Derek Carr, you know, did successful last year in terms of really evolving as a downfield passer to the likes that we had never seen before with him during his time in Oakland and Vegas. I keep coming back to this, but is it a clear picture for you how this all just aligns, or is it going to be some growing pains despite three really good people doing really good things at their jobs, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think we'll see a slight growing pains as Carr is learning his offense. It's pretty complex. But I don't think that he'll run the ball nearly as much as he did with the Patriots, because in New England, you had a rookie quarterback. You had a very physical offensive line, two really good running backs. And I think you have a good running back in Josh Jacobs, but I think the offensive line just isn't nearly as physical as what he had in New England. And I think he could put more on the shoulders of Derek Carr, even as he's, you know, he might go through some growing pains early in the season. I think, you know, he'll have no problem putting the ball in his hands. I think you'll see more play action. Derek Carr did have success with some play action last year. He probably ran the most play action he did his entire career last year. It just wasn't something he was very comfortable with, but I think he saw how effective it was last year and he kind of bought in. I think with McDaniels, we see a lot more play action. Again, I don't think you're going to see a run heavy offense like you did in New England, but you'll see a little bit more balanced than they were last season.
Okay. So Derek Carr in like just the last three seasons, he's always been really efficient as a downfield passer in terms of 20 plus yard completions, but he went from 25th in the amount of attempts in 2019. Then I think jumped to 15th in 2020. Then this past season jumped all the way to fourth in the amount of 20 plus yard throws in the league, only behind Tom Brady, Josh Allen, and Matthew Stafford. That was obviously within the history with Nelson Agholor and Henry Ruggs, and especially how Ruggs, you know, came on for the first half of last season. Different personnel, you know, outside of Devonta Adams and Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller, it's kind of the Keelan Coles, the Mac Hollins, the DeMarcus Robinsons of the world. Do you think he will want to or stick with this downfield, you know, play action deep shot that we saw him be so successful at this past season?
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll keep pushing the ball downfield, especially when you have a guy like Devonta Adams, who is one of the most dangerous deep threats in NFL. He's not, you know, quite the speed receiver like Tyreek Hill is, but he wins with route running. He wins with body position. And I think Carr will be comfortable throwing the ball to him downfield. And I think Darren Waller could also be used as a deep threat too. You know, he's a guy that flexes out at wide receiver too. He's not just a guy that you're going to line up in line. So I think Derek Carr will push the ball downfield. I don't think he'll be, he might not be fourth, you know, at 20 yard completions like he was last season, but I think he'll continue this trend of being an aggressive downfield passer because, you know, he knows that that opens up things for the offense.
We talked about this right after the Devonta Adams trade, but in terms of red zone touchdown rate, the Raiders have not been good at it in the last few years. I believe they were 29th last year, then 23rd and 22nd in the 2 years before that. To me, that's where the biggest jump, just pure touchdowns for Derek Carr, is going to be a massive jump for those of us in the fantasy football community and obviously his stat line. I mean, he hasn't thrown for 30 touchdowns since the 2015 season. In fact, over the last 5 years, it's been 22, 19, 21, 27, and 23. So again, Hunter Renfrow has been really good in those tight space in the condensed field. We saw it when healthy 2 years ago that Darren Waller was a huge mismatch in that area, either from a slot alignment or even lined up outside. And now you have Devonta Adams, who is like the most unguardable player in those tight spaces as well. Are you with me that that could be like the biggest jump that we see from Derek Carr this year, just pure touchdown completions?
Yeah, I mean, last season they couldn't run the ball that well in the red zone. That was a problem. And then, you know, Renfrow was very effective. He was more effective than I thought he was going to be, but that's not a guy that you want to really force the ball into in the red zone too much. So now you have a healthy Darren Waller, who was mismatched, and then you have Adams, who scored the most red zone touchdowns of any player in the last two seasons. And if you double him and, you know, you leave one-on-ones with Waller and Renfrow, that's going to be that's going to be pretty advantageous to the offense. So I agree with you. I think that's going to be a big jump for Derek Carr. I think if he doesn't throw over 30 touchdowns, it'll be disappointing.
Yeah. And Derek Carr right now is being drafted as the quarterback 15 on Underdog, and I don't think that's factoring enough how many touchdowns he's going to leap forward. And meanwhile, you mentioned Hunter Renfrow and like how probably his targets are going to drop just in terms of everyone else around him. I think he led all wide receivers last year with a 21% target share. So I think that's naturally going to happen. Okay, you talked a lot about the running game, for better or for worse. Again, we mentioned at the top how it's not necessarily going to change this year in terms of Josh Jacobs potentially, and I would love to get your opinion on this, because the fifth-year option obviously doesn't come into play until next year. That was declined. But Zamir White was drafted in the fourth round. They brought in Brandon Bolden. They also brought in Amir Abdullah, and they have Kenyon Drake on the roster, and it seems just like not as clear of a picture as it used to be. So from your seat, again, how do you expect this running back situation to unfold?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it was like a kind of a meme that you can't trust New England running backs, right? In fantasy for a while. I think that's going to be the same situation in Las Vegas. You can have Josh Jacobs, who is the bell cow back, and he could be a threat in the receiving game as well. But I think one of the reasons why his fifth year option was declined is because you can't trust him as far as staying healthy and on the field. Last season, his production tailed off, because I think most of that has to do with the offensive line. They were just really bad, just didn't open up any holes for him. So I think they'll be better in that department. So I think Josh Jacobs might be more efficient. I just don't know if they're going to trust him to carry the rock as much, because they want to keep him healthy, and they're probably going to rotate guys in a lot.
Well, we hate to hear that. Okay, Ted, we love hearing from you. Thanks so much for being here. All of your stuff with The Athletic and obviously your Twitter handle is linked in the description down below. I implore people out there, not just for the Raiders, but for the league at large, go and follow all of Ted's stuff. I read it every single time. I learn from all the clips that he posts on Twitter. As you can tell, one of the smartest out there. Ted, for the second time, I appreciate you being on. Thanks, buddy.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.